Well, I want to share this morning some thoughts on a very amazing concept that I find in God's Word. And it's so amazing that I don't think I can really do it justice. So I'm going to be really depending on the Lord today and ask for your prayers. But I want to talk about the concept of the mighty God working in and through weak humanity and how he does that. And I would like to consider some of the scriptures this morning. The Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 12. Speaks about the abundance of revelations given to him of heavenly things that were not possible to speak of in human language. And evidently, if someone is given that kind of revelation, it would be easy for any of us to think that we're something. And so he said here, to keep that from happening to him, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he's saying, to keep that from happening to him, from all the heavenly, unspeakable things that he saw, God gave him something else to deal with. And it was for the purpose of keeping him humble. And he called it, in verse 7, a thorn in the flesh. So it had something to do with his body. There are some people who say that he had blindness, that he couldn't see very well. There are some people say that he was crippled in some way, humpbacked or something like that. And we don't know exactly what it is. Anyway, it was something in his flesh, and he called it a thorn in the flesh. He called it the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Well, Job had Satan to buffet him, but when, as in the verse that Levi had a while ago, Job said it was the Lord who gave and the Lord who took away. So Paul called his affliction a messenger of Satan, but really he said there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. God did it, but maybe in some way he allowed Satan to tempt and torment and test Paul in some way. So he said it was given to him to buffet him and lest he should be exalted above measure. In verse 8, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," or three times. So he came to the Lord in prayer once, and evidently nothing changed. He still had it. Well, he thought, "I must persevere." So he came to the Lord a second time. "Lord, I really want you to help me with this. Take this away." You know, Paul, he was a man that you can read how that the power of God so rested on him that from, I believe it said, from his body would be taken pieces of cloth to people and they would be healed when they received that cloth. So there was a great power in him to do wonders and miracles from the Lord. So I am sure that his thinking was, "I have the gift of healing. I can just pray for myself and this thing will go." So he prayed once, twice, didn't happen. So he prayed a third time, and this time something happened, but what was it? He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And he said unto me, so he got an answer from the Lord, but it wasn't what he had prayed for. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." It sounds like that this was something new and different for Paul, but it isn't new and different for us if we've walked with the Lord any length of time at all. It will happen to you too. There, it seems like the Lord will take us through a time where there are a lot of answered prayers, and then maybe the Lord will bring you through a time where He does not answer the way that you would want Him to, and He continues to allow you to suffer or to go through what you're going through, and there doesn't seem to be any relief. What is the answer then? His answer here was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now that's the concept I'm going to try to speak about today. And it's an amazing thing how God, instead of choosing to zap us and make us, take us from where we are, where were we anyway? Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and he saw the clay being worked upon on the wheels. Remember? What happened to the clay? It was marred in the hands of the potter. So the potter had to make it again, something that would suit him. And the lesson was, O house of Israel, you're this clay. So the Lord has taken us from clay that's been deeply marred, and now He's got to work with us to make us the way He wants us to be. That's really where we came from. We came from misshapen and marred and good for nothing clay. And that's what God has started with. Weak, incapable. Could not please God. One scripture says if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. What am I going to do? I live in the flesh. What He meant was, if you're going after the things of the flesh, you'll never please God by going after the things of the flesh. But that's where we all started from. We all started from that. That's what we did. That's what we were. We were all of us without strength, Scripture says, right? And in that time of no strength, Christ died for us. So He takes us from a place of no strength, no ability to resist Satan, no ability to resist our flesh even. We lived, it says, to desires of the flesh and of the mind. Weak. That's where we came from. Well, God, whenever He saved you, He didn't just zap you and say, okay, now you're all strong. But He takes us and He begins to work with us. He begins to shape us. He begins to mold us. He begins and then He puts us through the fire. You take clay and then you fire it. What happens after it's glazed and fired? What happens to greenware and ceramics? Greenware is very fragile, isn't it? But when it's fired, it becomes hard. I mean, you can still break it, but it's not like just crumbly. When you can take that, and then it's a vessel that can be used. But God started with us when we were without strength. He died for the ungodly. Think of the scripture that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I'll tell you, this is embarrassing, but I used to think when I was a young person, yeah, that's some people. But you know what? That's all of us. That's where we started. That's where we started. And here's the thing about it is, many times we think we're strong. And God works with us from His standpoint of, it's just an amazing thing. We're weak. He looks at us, He knows we're weak, but yet He knows that through Him, we can do the great things. So He looks at us in our weak condition when we first get saved, and He says to us, as He did to Gideon, He came to Gideon, and Gideon's all hiding out, and afraid of the enemy, came to Gideon and said, O thou man of valor, go in this thy might. Gideon didn't have any might. Gideon didn't have any strength. What was God saying? God says that to us. You are a man of valor. We're no more a man of valor than Peter was a rock when Jesus called him a rock. We're not. But God looks at us through what He can be through us. He died for us when we were without strength. He began working with us when we were marred. He began talking to us and dealing with us and then said, go forth. And He knows we're weak. But the secret is, that if we can realize our weakness and depend on Him and begin to rely upon Him for everything, to live saved, to conquer ourselves, to keep our mouths shut, to control our minds, to keep from worry, to believe, all of those things require spiritual strength. To endure in time of suffering without giving up, without complaining, that requires strength. To keep going on when you don't want to go on. To love when it's hard to love. To have a good attitude when everything is just negative. That all requires strength, and we don't have any strength when we start. But God begins to, what happens? Does He make us strong? I want to show you what I see in all this. I want to show you that we may think as we go forward that, oh, I'm getting stronger. I can bear more. I can do more. I can be trusted with more. I'm more responsible now. I'm more mature now. And in a way, that's true. Time and responsibility and training, it does develop character, and it develops strength, if you will. But I want to show you what I see. In this scripture, he came up against something that he couldn't deal with. And we might say, well, Paul was a strong Christian. But God was saying, in your weakness, when you and I realize I'm still weak, I'm weak in myself, I really have not gained, I'm not just so super strong. I still need God. I still depend on God. What happens to us when we begin to think that we're strong? Whenever we begin to say, I'm strong, but we don't say it in the perspective of only through God, only through His strength. You understand what I'm saying? If we begin to feel strong in ourselves, I'll tell you the first thing that happens to me, I fall flat. The Lord allows it to be so. In His mercy, He allows us to fail and to do something that we didn't want that to be the outcome. We didn't want that to be our reaction. Lord, have mercy. What happened here? And the Lord gently reminds us, you know what? You were really depending on your own self. And you know that without me, you are nothing. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, I am so sorry. And you begin, and we realize, again, I'm weak. But, you know, in our weakness, if we will say, but in the Lord, I am strong. And go ahead and face the battle. And go ahead and work on that problem. And go ahead and be courageous, even though in ourselves we're weak. God will give us a victory. Now, that seems to be a paradox. You're supposed to know you're weak. Yes, but I'm supposed to also know that I can, since He can, since He is in me. One scripture says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He's mighty in the midst of you. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. Yes, but I am weak. Yes, but I am without strength. Oh, there's so many promises. Let me get to some of these things. My strength is made perfect. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Only when we realize our weakness and depend on Him. Now, His strength cannot be made perfect when we go in our own strength. That's when we fail. We don't see that perfection of His strength in us. So let us real. This is a lesson, Lord, help us to get today. That I cannot on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the lesson. We can because He is it. We are able because He is able. That was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other Israelites, is that they had a concept in their mind of how God is so strong. It doesn't matter if we're outnumbered. It doesn't matter if they have more weapons and more sophisticated weapons than we do. It doesn't matter if those walls are a mile high. They're going to come down because God is with us. They had that in their minds. And all of the other million Israelites did not. And all those other ones said, oh, we're like grasshoppers. that's the negative side of realizing that we're weak. It's like in the book of Proverbs, the guy says, oh, there's a lion in the street. I can't go out there. That's the way those Israelites were. We can't defeat those Canaanites. Did you know they're giants? In comparison to them, we're like grasshoppers. No, that wasn't right. They overemphasized their weakness. They were faithless in their weakness. What God really wants is us to realize our weakness and to say, you know, I'm as dependent on God as ever I was when I was first saved. It looks like that I would know better than this. It looks like I would be stronger than this. It looks like I would have more endurance than this. But Lord, here I am before you. I can't do this. I can't do this. And the Lord says, I know you can't do this, but you trust in me and you rely on me. And you're going to see the other end of this and you're going to say, how did I do that? It's true. Even with going through each and every day, the duties of work, I know there's things that Dan has come through and said, I don't know how I did that. I know there's things that he's faced before and said, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And then on the other side of that, I don't know how we did that. The Lord just brought us through. Was it that he became strong? No, he was just as weak as before. But God came in and did the work. Oh, here's something that really, really brought this home to me. The other night, Wednesday night, Darren was here and he was playing with Daniel and Jenny. And every little bit, Jenny would say, Uncle Darren, put me up on your shoulder. And so he would put Jenny up on his shoulder, and then she would look down at Darren, at Daniel, and she would say, you can't get me, ha, 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 ha. You remember that, Jenny? Uncle Darren put you up on his shoulder. So when Jenny's up on Uncle Darren's shoulder, nothing can get her. She's on a strong shoulder. And he won't let anything get her. See, that's what I'm trying to show you. And everything is small then to Jenny. Because she's still as little as she was, but she's way up on nearly 6 feet. And so everything is like, I can get you. I can overcome you. You can't get me. This is what I'm talking about. Now, there's a popular song out in the world, and some people have used it for a religious song, and I'm not really sure why it was written over in Ireland, I think it was somewhere. But anyway, it's that song, You Raise Me Up. In that song, it says, I am strong when I am on your shoulder. That really hit home with me this week because I needed something. I felt totally empty and without strength in this issue that I was dealing with. And I was just crying to the Lord. This was Thursday morning. I was crying to the Lord and saying, Lord, I just can't do this. I'm going to need you to keep me from reacting this way and to keep my mind sweet and to keep me strong. Lord, have mercy upon me. And it just came as clear as day to me about little Jenny up on Uncle Darren's shoulder. I'm strong when I'm on your shoulder. And I can look down on everything and say, you can't get me. That's what the Lord wants to say to all of us. He wants to put you up on his strong shoulder and carry you. And here you are, you're going through something that you would never be able to overcome yourself. But because you're on the Lord's shoulder, because he's got you, you're strong. You're way up. And that made me think of a scripture in Isaiah 40. Where he says, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. How does he do that? Does he walk away from you? He zap you and walk away from you and, oh, now you're all powerful. Does he do that? No. How does he give power to the faint? That scripture said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Yeah, that's me. Okay, but he gives power to those who faint. How does he do that? He picks you up. He lifts you, and on his shoulder you ride. And now you and him, you're facing everything. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Somebody has said, you with the Lord is a majority. Well, that's the way it is. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see the difference? Yes, I'm still weak, but in my weakness, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. That's the beauty of this. That's the wonder of it. That's the mystery of this thing. He didn't choose you or me because we were so strong. He chose us and died for us when we were out without strength. And then he lifts us up and he bears us and he carries us. And we go into battle in that position with them, depending, completely depending on him. To hold us, to take us, we're on his shoulder. That's just awesome. It says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. It doesn't matter if you're young. You're going to have places where I just can't do this. And we, you know, people, we just deal with things. Maybe you're very shy and you just can't open up and talk and deal with people very well. It's just torture. It's just like pulling teeth. But you know what? If you get on the Lord's shoulder, you can go with him into situations where ordinarily you could not face it. But with him, he strengthens you. Or maybe you've got a temper and you just get mad, and before you know it, you've thrown a toy or whatever. Children, as little children, we deal with things like this. I remember, I'll get so mad and just hit with my fist, the little tiny fist. You know, God can strengthen us in those weaknesses. We begin to call out to him for help. Help me, Lord. Help me not get mad. Help me, dear God. And the Lord begins to strengthen us and help us. The more we depend on him, the more we call upon him for help, he'll help us. Oh, there's other weaknesses of people. Some people are just weak and they can't stand up on their own against anyone. If they go with this one and this one's going to do this, they just fall in with that. God doesn't want us to remain that way. I'm going to show you how he strengthens us. They that wait upon the Lord, it says, shall renew their strength. So it says here, he increases strength. He renews strength. To them that have no might, he increases strength. He gives power. Then he increases it. And then he renews it. Do you see this? This is how we've learned to walk with the Lord. He gives us power. And then he increases it as we go along. And then many times we think, I should do this. I should know how to do this. Okay, this is easy. I've done this before. And you know what? Boom. And we say, what's going on with this? Why was this so hard for me now? It's probably because I, for just a moment, took my eyes off the Lord. Like Peter. That's an instance right there where God took a weak human being, and what did he make Peter do? Peter said, Lord, ask me to come to you walking on the what? On the water. And what was Peter able to do then? He was able to walk on the water. That's not Peter. Who was doing that? It says in that song, it says, I can walk on stormy seas. Who was underneath Peter enabling him to walk on that water? He was on the Lord's shoulder. He was walking. The Lord's strength was under him. What happened to Peter when he took his eyes off of the Lord and he started looking around at the storm? What happened to him? He sank. Do you think his head got all the way under? And he's going, Lord, help. You think he might have been just about to drown? That's the way we are if we quit depending on the Lord. I'm telling you, we don't have this all worked out. We don't have all this done. One song in our book says, never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Your artist's task will not be done till you've got the crown. So we can't just say, well, I've got this whooped already. No help needed. I got this. We can't do that. We've got to always wait upon the Lord. What does wait upon the Lord means? It means to attend upon Him, to be attentive to Him, to look at Him, wait for His direction, wait for Him to say, come to me on the water. If you just try to do stuff and we just try to do stuff on our own, guess what? We'll sink at the very beginning. But so we look at Him and say, if you ask me to do this, then I can do this, and I'm waiting for your direction. And so when He calls us and asks us to do something, He'll never ask you to do something while you're waiting on Him like that. He'll never ask you to do something that you can't do. If there's a temptation that's too great for you, the Lord will make a way for you to escape. This is His promise. We can trust Him. This is how He works with us. He calls us to do greater things than we have the strength for, always. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing that the Lord would pick a vessel for the task that's not equal to the task? But how is it that He does that? He does it anticipating that we can do it through Him. So He says to us, now, I've called you strong. Now, Isaiah, let's find this. I've said that you're strong. Now, in the book of, I believe it's Joel, he says to us, Joel chapter 3, verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords. Become a soldier for the Lord, and let your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, so now he says, okay, say, let the weak say, I'm strong. How do we do that? What are we doing that through? We're doing that through Christ. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6 and 10, is it? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might. He has power and might for us. What does it say? To those who have no power, He increases strength. So He has might. He has strength for us. Be strong in the Lord. Another scripture, 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So He's saying to us, yes, you can say, I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the grace of God, I will go to school and stay saved. Or by the grace of God, I will be kind to my brother or to my sister. By the grace of God, I will love this person who is unlovely. We can say those things. That's what He wants us to say. He doesn't want us to be like the Israelites that says, oh, I'm a grasshopper compared to this trial. I can't do this. He doesn't want us to do that, but yet He doesn't want us to, in our own strength, say, oh, got this done, don't need any help. He wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to recognize our weakness, but say, like Paul, I will glory in my weaknesses. I will thank God for them. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So He says to us, let the weak say, I am strong. And now in Isaiah 35, now we, through the strength of Christ, in the grace of God, by the power of God, we say, in verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. So now, we, recognizing what makes us strong, it's Christ within us. So now we can say to others, He helped me. I am no better than you. You can do this. And behind that, you can do this, is this whole knowledge of, no, you can't do this on your own, but Christ can help you to do this. So we say to those that have a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come. with vengeance, even God with recompense. He'll come and save you. This is really how we can only tell people that they can be strong, is that God's going to come and deliver you. God's going to come and save you. You just pray about this and you can do this. And so that's how we instruct our children many times, isn't it? The children say, I can't do this work. And you say to this child, you be strong, you can do this. But remember, teach the little children early. Let's have prayer. Oh, this math, I can't do this math problem. Let's pray and ask Jesus to help you. And you do that over and over with your children, and they can realize, I don't have it, but God has it for me. So we learn to depend on the Lord. I've seen the Lord bless and help my children many times when I knew they couldn't do what they were needing to do. I knew their weakness in that area was so great. But to see them go to God and have them come out and say, Mom, God gave me this. God helped me with this. There's nothing like that. That's worth more than the wealth of this world. To see a weak and fearful heart pick up and say, God helped me. That's a wonderful thing. So God wants us to do that. Let's see. I see this happening in several scriptures. Psalms 84. And verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. That's how we go. We go from having no might and no strength to a little. You have a little strength, one time he said to the ones in Revelations. You have a little strength. So we go from no strength to a little strength and a little faith. And then he strengthens that, and he increases strength to those that have no might. He increases, he gives power to the faint. He renews strength, so they go from strength to strength. There's another scripture, and I don't know where this one is, but it says something about they'll be stronger and stronger. Find that for me. I'll read that one. Psalm 71. This is the attitude in this Psalm 71. It's known as a psalm for support in old age. So maybe it's David when he's around 70. You know, that's pretty old. Saying, "Thou hast instructed me and taught me from my youth, and Lord, now in my old age, don't forsake me and cast me off." But he says here in verse 16, Psalm 71, 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Oh, that is when you've learned, when you've been through these lessons and you realize, no, I don't have any strength. But you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get out of this bed today, and I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. And you know what? When we first started, we couldn't have done that. But we've gone from strength to strength. And we've gotten stronger and stronger. You have that?
Job 17:9.
I'm not sure who's speaking in this time. Job is speaking. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Well, you might say, well, Job, you know, he really trusted in his own righteousness there for a while. Well, maybe so, but God was helping him. God taught him. God taught him a good lesson. God brought him to a fruitful end. He increased everything in Job's life and brought him out. He turned his captivity. Scripture says when he prayed for his friends. So Job said, he that has clean hands, he'll just get stronger and stronger. That's one of the things that we want to remember is, yes, I am weak, but I don't have to stay weak. I don't have to give in to this weakness. I don't have to constantly be in the place where, well, I need to go get saved again because here I've gone back out into sin again. God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants us to begin living for Him trusting in Him for all of our battles. Learn that He's with us and that He'll fight our battles for us. Learn that He is underneath us. We're on His shoulder. He wants us to learn those things and to rely on Him. And as we do that, we get stronger and stronger only as we rely on Him. That is the secret, to rely completely on God. So let's go back to where we started, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Most gladly, therefore, verse 9, the last half. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'll tell you what, when you look in at an old saint, and they've been living for the Lord a long time, and you think, oh, how do you get that strong? They're still just as weak as they ever were. But they've learned to rely on God. And so what you see, what comes out of them, is the strength of God. It's because they've known, I can't do this. God, will you work through me? And they've gone through battles, and they've come through trials, and their faith and reliance in God is strengthened. It's a lot more than it used to be. But if they once take that off of God, you know what? The oldest and the one that's lived for the Lord the longest, we can fall too. Because we're all without strength still. It is God who girds me with strength. That's in Psalm 18, I believe it is. It is God that girdeth me with strength unto the battle. Oh, let us learn to lean on the Lord this morning. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, times that we do without, times that we're persecuted, in distresses, times that we're distressed. There's a lot of those times for Christ's sake. So if you're going through something because of you're doing what you know is right, but it's very distressing. You really don't know what to do or where to go. When we're going through that, he says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, thank the Lord for this wonderful, wonderful truth.